hands are all sweaty. I can't get this thing off. I got hot hands. Okay.
I always, before I get up here, I always have a hard time thinking of what to say. Always, I get mixed emotions, either to thank you, to just to start getting right to my message, but I always feel like I have to say something, you know? I always feel like I can't start something without actually thanking y'all, without actually telling y'all how much I am appreciative of y'all's support, of y'all's prayer, of just being here. Just knowing that after 3 years, I come back and I still see the same faces and more. You don't know how much of a blessing that is. A lot of people leave churches for stupid reasons and you don't see them again. In Warsaw, we went through 3 different groups before we actually got this group that stuck. We saw people come and go and they disappeared. We don't know where they went. You don't know what a blessing it is to know that through thick and thin, we come back and we see the same people and more. That is such a blessing. I would praise God for y'all for that. Y'all's prayers were answered as y'all saw my wife up here speaking. Y'all's prayers were answered when y'all sent me out. I don't think y'all expected God to work that quick and that wonderfully. He did.
Amen.
When you... I was getting to that. Just getting to that. Try and let that first thing sink in first. It is great mercy that we're all here. It's great mercy that God has done what He has done for us. We do not deserve anything, and I definitely don't deserve having such a wonderful wife, but God was very merciful, and after 3 weeks of being in Poland, I met her. So you can imagine how quickly God answered. He knew I needed somebody. He knew what my situation was. So anyways, let's turn to John chapter 1. Get to what I'm supposed to be doing here. John chapter 1. Now, I've read the New Testament numbers of times. I like the Gospel of John. It's clear when it comes to salvation. A lot of stuff about salvation. But I never actually saw these words that were actually here until just recently. In verse 38. It says, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. The three words I want to speak to you today about, ask you the same question. What seek ye? Those three words are powerful words. What today are you seeking? What is today the most important thing in your life that you would do everything in your power to search for? We live in a very material world where cars, homes, money, different things like that make a big impression on us. We think of someone rich as someone who has a mansion, someone has fancy cars, nice clothes, you know. We think of someone rich in that sense. But what exactly are we seeking for? When you speak about religion, you speak about people who are looking for something that is so dead. As you heard about my wife speaking about the Catholicism. And every religion teaches the same thing. Be good, try to do the best, and maybe you'll get to heaven. And if not, we have a second option, third option, and so on and so forth. Just in case that doesn't work. Now, people in religion, they seek for hope. Hope. Hope for what? All I know is that every religion I know of, the deeper you get into, the more that you're in bondage to that religion. The more of a better Catholic you want to be, you have to go to church every week. You have to pray 10,000 Hail Marys. You have to do all these other things that really just bind you, make you worse, make you just more deeper into this religion that you don't know where's up. You're confused. There is no hope. There is no hope in religion. They teach you how to be a good Catholic. But they teach you that you're a sinner going to hell. Where's the hope in that? Where's the hope that says, look, you, my friend, are a sinner. If you don't repent of your sins, you're going to hell. They try speaking about peace. Everybody wants world peace. Everybody wants to live in a peaceful neighborhood, peaceful community, peaceful world. But where is it? My friend, without Christ, there is no peace. We seek for truth. And some people seek for truth in the weirdest places. Some people seek for truth in bars. Oh, I'm looking there. I don't know. I'm just looking there. I'm looking for truth. Well, where are you searching for that truth? You can't find it in religion. We have people here, probably numbers of Catholics, who have come out of the Catholicism because they found no truth in it. They found no peace, no hope, nothing to base their hopes on, nothing to base their truths on, because they know it's false. People look for joy. People want to be happy. I want joy. I don't want to enjoy life. You can't enjoy life until you're in Christ. You can't enjoy life while searching for religion. It just makes you that much bitter, that much upset at the priest, that much upset at the different circumstances in your life and at God. How many people today who were Catholics come out of that and become atheists because they think that the Catholicism is the only way, and now if that's wrong, then there is no way. Then there is no God. There can't be. There is no joy. There is no love. These things are what religion, that people look for in religion and can never find it. They seek for these things and can never find it. I spoke of happiness. You know, will a new car really make us happy? Jason and Sherry just got a new car. It's a nice one. I had to work on it. It's like, okay, pride, less. I'm glad for them. My car has a broken engine in it, but oh, praise the Lord. No, I'm not gonna be Uncle John here saying about what he did, what's wrong with this car and everything, but it's really hard. Whenever, you know, you come back to the United States and you see, whoo, beautiful cars. But will that really make us happy? Are those things really that make a difference in our lives? We've got rich men got 15,000 new cars and they still look for something else. You can have the newest model, the newest whatever, and still be empty. Without Christ, those things mean nothing. New house? Nothing. Once again, nothing. More money? It's so frustrating in Poland where people, and it's all over the world, it's not only there, where people work extra hard, forget about family, just so they can make a little bit more money to give their kids whatever they want. And neglect their family. Neglect the home. And all of a sudden, the kids that they tried to give the best now are in trouble in jail. Or they're off taking drugs because the parents weren't around. You know, people neglect family for the sake of money. That shouldn't be. Neglect your church for the sake of money. That shouldn't be. Neglect Christ for the sake of money. My friends, that shouldn't be. Amen. We should not neglect our work, our reason for living here, our reason for being here, for the sake of anything except Christ. Amen. He is the reason why we live. He is our hope. He is our life. Without Him, we are nothing. We should not neglect anything. We should not go out and do anything except do it in the name of Jesus Christ. People look for health. Hey, I'm young, I have a little bit of background, but hey, I'm pretty healthy. People who are older and having, you know, my grandma just had a heart surgery. You know, people who have money and they get all that money just so they live a little longer. They get all these things just to live a little longer. You know, I'm like Uncle Norman. Hey, when the Lord's ready for me to go, I'm ready. Amen. I am not scared of death. For me to die is gain. That's when I speak to people on the streets, I say, look, are you ready today to die? If you are, what will you be seeing? Who will you be facing? And what will His words be? Will it be, enter in, my son, well done? Or will it be, depart from me, I knew you not? Those things are interesting. But for me, to die is gain. I'm like Paul. I'm ready, Lord. Whenever your time is, I'm ready. Are we looking for fulfillment in life? These are all things people seek for, once again, my friends. They seek diligently for fulfillment in life and can never find it until they open the Word of God. Until they start reading and hearing about Jesus Christ. What He has done for us. Or maybe today you're looking for His will. This is the place where you should be. If you're today seeking for His will, I pray God that you find it today. Because you're in a good place. Where the Word of God is being spoken. Where hearts are being opened. If your heart is right today, and God is speaking to you today, I do pray that you hear the will of God. People seek for things and forget one thing. Christ is the answer to everything that you're seeking for. Every single thing that you are seeking for, He is the answer. You have a question? Go to Him. You have a problem? Go to Him. You have a situation? He's the one. All we are messengers relaying His message. That's all we are. We are not any important people here. We should not be lifting ourselves up and say, oh, what I've done so much for God. I have saved so many. I hope not. I hope not that you haven't saved very many. Because it's not us saving people. It's God saving. It's Him doing the work, not us. He is the answer. He was the answer for every single blind man He healed in the Bible. Where did He hear in the Bible where that blind man praised Peter or Paul for healing them? Every single blind man healed in the Bible lifted up God. Said, He is the one who healed me. Remember that blind man who said, I may not know everything, but I know one thing. I was blind, but now I see. And that's Him right over there. He did it. Jesus Christ. He had no doubt. He wasn't thinking, well, was it religion? Well, did I have a plenty of faith? Well, was it all these extra things that I had added to that and made it better? No, it was all Him. You did nothing to gain that. You did nothing to deserve His mercy. If you're saved today, you did nothing for your salvation. And if you're not saved today, your good works will do nothing to add to His salvation. So many people try to think that if God gives 99%, I have to give my 1%. I have to do something, give something in return. No. He wants nothing but your faith. He wants you to put His complete trust in Him if you're seeking for Him. He was the answer to the apostles in the middle of the ocean. In distress. Not knowing where to turn. Sinking. You may feel that way today. You may feel that life is just too hard. What am I going to do? Which way am I going to go? I'm just sinking like a rock down to the bottom. If that's the way you're feeling today, He is your answer. He is the one, the only one who'll be able to lift you up. He was the answer for the woman of Samaria who sought earthly water and received from God living water. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we seek for things, and when we seek the right things, we get a lot more. In Psalm 23, we read, you know, that my cup overrunneth, overfloweth. It just completely, what we have, what God blesses us, He's giving more and more. But you got to first trust in Him. You got to first believe in Him. He is still the answer today, as He ever was then. Look at Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. It says, For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I am the Lord, I change not. That's what the Lord said. He is today the same as yesterday and forever. He does not change. If He was good, He was good for them then. How much better is He for us now? He's good for you, my friend. If you're seeking for Him, He's good for you. You're not good, but He's good for you. He is your answer. My question is today, what do you need? What do you need so bad that you'll give your right arm for? That's an interesting phrase because the Bible says that if our right hand is hindering us, from the gospel. We should cut it off. It's better to go to heaven without one hand than go to hell full body. So what would you give your right hand for? Worldly goods? Think about that. Think about the one man who went through, he did everything. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Verse 14, it says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. He was the only one who could do everything. He did everything you think of. Every pleasure on earth, he did. He said, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. I did everything, and yet I lack so much. Those pleasures mean nothing to me. Vanity and vexation of spirit. Just completely just do it, nothing one bit. It's so frustrating that people think this world is their home. That this is a place and there's no more. Forget that there is a God. There is a God who will judge righteously. And if you do not live according to His word, He will judge you. My friend, today, what do you need? Jesus is the one that you need. The only one you need. He is the meaning to your life. You want to have a meaningful life? You want to have fulfillment in life? Give your life over to God. Let Him lead you the way He ought to, instead of you lead yourself. I've talked to drunks. I've talked to guys who are on drugs and everything else, at the moment that I was talking to them, they were either taking it or drinking. And I said, look at yourself. I said, you're leading your life. How do you enjoy it so far? Are you having fun? Is this what you want? Is this what you were looking for from the very beginning? I often say, you know what? I don't know what to do anymore. I just do this just because I need to. Because I'm hooked. I don't know what else to do. I said, now you led your life. Now I want you to get over to God. Let Him lead it. Let Him do the leading and you do the following. And He'll lead you through paths of righteousness. He is the meaning to your life. Why do we say that? Why does it say He is the only meaning? Why not Muhammad? Why not Mary? Why not all these other people, these religious heroes? Why not them? Because He's the only one who died on the cross for our sins. He's the only one who paid the full price for us. In 1 Timothy 1:1, it speaks of our hope. 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Our hope lies in Jesus Christ, not in ourselves. The more trust we put in ourselves, the worse we get. That's why people are in so much trouble today, because they put trust in man and in themselves. I can do it. I'm good. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. It's okay. I know what I'm doing. That's what little kids say, don't they? And they get into trouble. It's okay, Dad. I know what I'm doing. Don't worry about it. I can hear Caleb now when he gets older. Dad, don't worry about it. I know what I'm doing. Yeah, right. Well, you get smacked across the head. Okay, there you go. You know what you're doing? And that's exactly how we are. Even if you're saved today, sometimes we just don't quite want to just get everything over. We hold a little back, like, I can take care of this side. You take care of that part, maybe that's a little bit bigger part than I can handle, but the rest I can. If He doesn't have all, then how can He bless you? If He can't lead you completely, how can He do that? How can He bless you at all? I may have spoken this last time I was here, but pretty sure I forgot about it. It's been 3 years, so sometimes you forget from Sunday to Sunday what the preacher said last Sunday, right? So after 3 years, I know for sure you forgot. It's like a little boy learning how to ride his bike. Has a little toy, and it's broken, and he wants his dad to fix it. So he gives it over. His dad tries fixing it. But he keeps getting in the way. Like, Dad, no. You have to do that, and you have to... No, Dad, you do it the other way. The dad just finally said, look, either you let me do it, or you do it yourself. But if you want me to do it and do it right, get out of my way. Stop hindering me, because I can't concentrate. See, that's what we are with God. We hinder Him. We start saying, God, you know, you take that part, I'll take my part. I can do my own part. He is our complete hope. He is our only hope. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Not through Mary, not through the Pope, not through Muhammad, not through whoever you think highly, but through Christ Jesus. He is our peace. Complete, utter peace. We think that we live in a peaceful land here in the United States, and it's possible. But just think of this. The moment we're in heaven, there'll be so much peace. It'll be beautiful. The sound of silence, isn't it? Just beautiful. It'd be peace. It's just, I can't even imagine it. My grandpa's favorite song before he died was one of, I'm not sure why he chose Mercy Me, but anyways, it happened to be, you know, I Can Only Imagine. And that is a good song. I can only imagine how it would be in heaven. The peace of it all. He is our only truth. And we know this verse. I'm sure we all, the preachers, know it. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Now that is a good verse. And I love that verse, especially in talking to people. And they think that someone else is the way. Someone else has the truth. Someone else is the life. He is the only one. The only way. The only truth. The only life. You cannot get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. He is the door, the branch. Without Him, you are nothing. Basically, what I'm trying to do right now, is I'm trying to see what religion doesn't do and what Jesus does. I'm trying to show you biblically verses that religion cannot comprehend. That religion cannot comfort you at all. Joy? He spoke of joy. Romans 5:11. Let's start verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We joy in Christ Jesus. We have peace. We have joy, ultimate joy. The highest joy you can ever imagine is in Christ Jesus. People say, yeah, but when I get saved, I won't have as much fun as I had when I was young, when I was in my sin. Oh, my friend. If you weren't here last night, you should have heard Uncle John speaking up here. And we have a lot of fun. We have tons of fun. We laugh. We tell jokes. It's not that bad, my friend. It's even much better than you can even imagine. Much better. This world cannot even comprehend the joy that we have. until they taste it of themselves. And then they say, you're right. You're right. I love it. I want to stay. The love I'm speaking about, we know the famous verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Classic verse. The love of God toward us, the love of God, me. Can we even comprehend that? If you today can say, well, of course you should love me. Why not? I never killed anybody. Well, if that's your excuse today for why God should love you, then my friend, you're a little mistaken. You got that all twisted around. God loved you because you're the chiefest of sinners, as Paul said. He loved me because I am the chiefest of sinners. I have nothing to give to Him, yet He loved me. Returning to our text in John 1. One more thought before we get to there. We seek for these material things. But isn't there a verse somewhere in Matthew that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you? Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We have things backwards. And that's like the human nature. Always backwards. Always going the wrong direction at the wrong time. Thinking that we go in the right direction. How many of you have gotten lost and thinking going the right direction? When I'm in a new city, I'm doing that all the time. When I get to a new city, I just think I'm going the right direction. I think, I don't know, but I just keep on going. I keep going the wrong direction until I'm out of town. I got to go back. Oops. We go the wrong direction. We do things backwards. We start from the end and go to the beginning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things. That's such a blessing right there. John 1, back to our text, verse 39, when they start 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. My advice to you today is when you find Christ, when you seek His will, and yes, you find it, come and stay. Come and stay. Don't come and say, you know what? That's not what I'm looking for. I don't know. Not very many people shook my hands. I don't know. It feels weird. If God is speaking to your heart, come and stay. Amen. And you know what? It's not kind of like this come and stay at our home for a week and then, you know, after you overstand your welcome, we kick you out. Which I'm pretty sure at the end of this week, Jason and Sherry will want to do. He's sleepy. Don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's thinking about. But this come and stay for eternity. For eternity, my friend. Not just a little moment. Not just for a little second. Not for a week. Not for just however long you feel like being in there. But come and stay for eternity. That's a long time. And that's where I want to be. And I hope that's where you want to be too. If you today are not saved. If you today do not know where you're headed today. Let me tell you right now. You can. You can know God. You can find Him. He can be found. He is not hidden. In religion, He's hidden. He's hidden in the amongst other religions, other idols, other little things you have to do to get to Him. But really, you can never get to Him directly. But when you open the Word of God, you find the truth. You find the way. And you find the life. So my advice to you, once again, is come and stay, my friend. Come and stay a while. If you're seeking Him, I pray that you are. Lord, I do pray that you just bless this evening. Bless every heart that is here. Pray you just open their hearts, Lord. We thank you so much for your word, for the greatness of your salvation. We praise your name and lift your name on high. In Jesus' name. Amen.